Well, let's go ahead and get started here. So,
sure.
Secretary Perdue, we got some news that the USDA is going to be implementing a CFAP 2.0. What can you tell us?
Well, again, this is the $14 billion that Congress replenished in the CCC back in the earlier this year. And we are appropriating that based on really three different types of levels of loss. What we found is that while we're still distributing the CFAP 1, there are other commodities certainly that were not included. Also, Kara, that CFAP 1 mostly took us through April 15th. That's what we were working with, the facts that we had at that point in time, and the damages and losses in the first quarter is where we were working, knowing that we would have further losses throughout the year. We just couldn't totally estimate what those would be. So we waited until later this summer in order to help understand better what the damages from COVID were. And that's what CFAP 2 does, is come in with the $14 billion. And it'll be a little different distribution on three different levels of calculation this time. We'll still have the price trigger with those commodities that we have good price discovery on. With a 5% price decline from January through July, we can that'll be done the same. But we also, for specialty crops and aquaculture and some other unusual crops that we could not have a good price discovery on, they're going to be paid based on their 2019 sales that way, what the difference between 2020 sales are and what 2019 sales were. And then for those commodities that didn't qualify under either of those, there's really going to be a flat rate for row crops that didn't meet the 5% decline at a payment of eligible 2020 acres at $15 an acre. So that's kind of the nut and shell of the approach for CFAP 2.
Yeah. What did the USDA also learn from the first CFAP? You mentioned a few things that were a little different, but are any other lessons learned?
Yeah, we learned that in calculating those damages early on, we didn't have as much information as we would like. We opened it up to the public in what's called a NOFA, a Notice of Funding Availability, and we learned from a lot of crops. Actually, Kara, I learned about some crops I didn't even know what they were. I had to go look them up. What is that there? And so we added about 49 different commodities in that regard, and those are included in CFAP 2, but that's probably going to be it. We tried to give everyone an opportunity to tell us where their damages are. We listened, and we included that in that CFAP 2. And so this will be probably the sum of the commodities that we treat.
For the cattle industry, we heard some feedback from them that maybe the first CFAP could use some improvements. So what has USDA done to address some of those concerns in this round?
We listened very closely to that, and there was real some legitimacy there. We had to cut it off at April 15th because CFAP 1 was covering the first quarter damages there, and cattlemen who sold prior to April 15th were treated much more generously than those that were sold or held their cattle after April 15th. This will smooth that out to a large degree and make those people who held their cattle after April 15th, I think, much more pleased with this round of CFAP based on their marketing decisions of when they sold their cattle.
What happens to the money that wasn't spent from the CFAP 1?
Yeah, we obviously the applications on September the 11th are still being processed. We have probably disbursements a little over $10 billion out of the $16 billion now, and we expect that to rise because we all know our farmer friends, and me included, we'd wait until the last week or so to go in and apply because we've been busy, you know, getting crops in and doing everything else. But we expect that number to go. We'll look at to calculate what the final is, and then that would be money that I think, in speaking with Congress, they'd like to use for cleanup things that we might have missed in CFAP 1 or 2.
Oh, so maybe more assistance for ethanol and the turkey industry kind of things?
Well, I don't want to commit to anything that way. We're going to have to see what the numbers on the CFAP 1 and 2 wind up to be, but obviously We want to expend the money that Congress has appropriated for both of those.
Mr. Secretary, is there anything we've missed in the CFAP discussion before we transition just a hair?
I don't think so. Obviously, the same $250,000 payment limit will be there, and per individual or entity. And I think that's pretty much the sign-up's going to begin September the 21st and continue through December the 11th. So I hope people that are in the middle of fall harvest will get out and get this done quickly.
No, the CFAP program, the first round, took priority at FSA offices. I will take it that CFAP 2.0 will also be a priority at FSA, right?
Yes, no doubt. Yep. Obviously, this is a busy time for FSA offices as well. With back in the summer, we had crop reporting, acres reporting, as you well know. But this also is PLC and ARC time, as well as CRP type of appropriation that comes out in typically in October, November. So we've worked our Farm Service Agency's people really hard, and I just want to give them a shout out today. They have they've really done amazing. They during this COVID, they've been there and taking care of their customers, and I want to thank them for that. But yes, that CFAP 2 will take priority as well.
With the new CFAP taking priority then at FSA offices, what happens to the WIP Plus program sign up?
WIP Plus, it should have been going on all along, and as far as that goes, that as I said, these folks have been really worked really hard. They've had to juggle acreage reporting and CFAP as well as WIP. The WIP Plus should be going on as well.
Some farmers in North Dakota and Minnesota have not received any money yet, and others are just receiving half of the payments on WIP Plus. Why is it taking so long, do you know, Mr. Secretary, for farmers and ranchers to get these payments?
I think just what we've talked about, certainly the quality considerations are very complex kind of calculation. But again, it is really a workload issue. When we've thrown at the local offices, they're working as hard as they can. For any of your listeners who have issues, if they'll contact, there's a website there that on contacting USDA.gov and put that in, we'll get them a specific answer. But many times when we do the research on that, we find that there's missing information that may occur. And again, from a workload perspective, these folks are working as hard as they can to get it out.
What's the status of the quality loss adjustment discussion for WIP Plus?
The discussion has taken place. I think it's a matter of the determination of how that gets done. This is a much more complicated discussion over quality loss but the guidance is out there. It's just a real difficult, is a very less objective, more subjective type of calculation on quality loss.
Oh, I see. So it could be maybe a few more weeks or even months before we really know.
I'm not saying that. I hope it's, I would think it would be sooner than that, along with all the other workload that's going on.
We saw where Deputy Secretary Steve Sinski put in his announcement that he would be leaving the USDA. Initial thoughts on his departure?
Well, this Minnesota native is going to be sorely missed. He's been a great shotgun ride for me and handling many of the operations here at USDA. There are a lot of moving parts at USDA, and I have trusted Deputy Sinski with handling much of those back office issues that make USDA run so well. He's been involved on virtually many, if not all of them, and I understand from the American Soybean Association wanting him back, and he served the American farmer very well. I'm personally going to miss him, and USDA is going to miss him, and wish him all the best.
Will he continue then at the USDA through the election cycle then?
Yes, he'll be here through the probably the middle of November. We don't have any replacement at this point in time. It was just last week when Secretary Sinski notified me late in the week there that he had but both for professional and personal family reasons. I think his wife's family is still there in St. Louis. All of our parents are aging, as you know, and he had a heart for the association he ran for 20 years, so it was understandable. I'm just I'm just grateful that he took a sabbatical to come here and serve the American farmer for 3 years.